Would you differentiate between the immanence of God and this aspect there? I could imagine that God is learning and that there is a process, and the transcendent God, as for example the mystical tradition, Meister Eckhart and others have thought.
Ooh. Well, I like to think both of those are happening. I find both of those compatible with each other.
Yeah, sure, it should be compatible.
Yeah. So I don't think I have any deep view on this, except that I intuitively feel that both should be happening.
So you would think that with the process theology, a real transcendence of God can be combined with the immanence of God and this learning and process?
Well, no, that's an interesting question. Yes, somehow, I mean, we're using metaphors here to try to express something which we can't really understand. But I would hope that in some sense this would be possible, yes. And from my viewpoint, a God who is totally unchanging and unmoved is no use at all. It's not an interesting God. And so, so I think it all fits together in quite a nice way.
On the other hand, perhaps one could say a changing God is also unsatisfying because it's not omnipotent.
Perhaps if you think him only changing, then I think there would be a theological problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's two things. Firstly, what would be changing would be some aspects of God. One would hope there would be an underlying unchanging part, and so I think that is okay. In the same sense that human beings have, as it were, an unchanging biological nature on top of which a lot of change takes place. But the second is that the idea of God being omnipotent is modified, if you believe, in kenosis or giving up or self-giving, in that, to me, a central concept of that is that God is omnipotent in the sense of being able to do anything but voluntarily choosing not to do everything. And to me, that's a very important part of the concept of a kenotic God, a God who restricts or limits himself or herself in order to allow beings like us to have our freedom and our ability to be responsible for ourselves.
It means he renounces on certain aspects of his almightiness,
yes,
and he gives a space for freedom and for
absolutely, the development of yes, to me that's absolutely central. Yeah,
that's a concept which is very spread in Kabbalah, in the Jewish mystic.
Yes, and I think also Professor Jürgen Moltmann maybe.
In this process, you said that God has given up the power to
intervene directly. Okay, well, but then the question is, so what use is a God who never does anything? And I'm there to take a slightly adventurous view from the scientific viewpoint, saying that part of the data which one has to assess is all the data that one might call spiritual data, the experiences of hundreds of millions of people through many centuries about their believed spiritual experiences. And it is possible that all of that is illusion, but it is possible that some of that is not illusion, that there is, in fact, hidden in this vast array of stuff which is claimed to be spiritual, and much of which is illusion, because it can, well, we can discuss that. But it's possible that in there is some real spiritual experiences. And so I would say that that's something one could search for and put the view that God has chosen to restrict her interventions in the world purely into providing mental images or pre-images to conscious agents. In other words, to give persuasive images suggesting, which are revelatory. There is a channel of revelation which can suggest to people what would be the good way to go, but not force them. And this is the kind of view which I would have, the ones that your hands are the only hands I have of people on the way and other intelligent beings, and that therefore the way that the holding back, the withdrawal of God is to say I won't intervene in any kind of way, because once intervention takes place it raises just as big theological problems as any other. But to say that what I will allow myself to do is to provide people who are willing to listen and ready to listen with visions or intimations, whatever one calls it, which are guidances to people of the true nature of the world. And I think the existence of such a channel is an important issue, which is what we were discussing in the Vatican CTNS series.
But this channel is not an intervention. It's not
Well, it's an intervention in the sense that it is providing one with some tendencies or leanings or thoughts one wouldn't have otherwise had. In that sense it is, but it's not an intervention in the sense of getting rid of my toothache or preventing Auschwitz.
Yeah, that's, you mean there is no physical intervention in the world, but there may be an intervention by
from the mental side. Yes, correct. That's right. And you have to believe something like that if you believe that the ideas of most people's spiritual experience, if there's going to be some meaning to that, there has to be something like this. Otherwise, it's all just self-invented, self-delusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was also the question whether care for individuals is more than sustaining the natural laws. This is the answer. It is
providing the possibility of a channel of revelation, but it's a very delicate thing. It is the hidden God who remains hidden in order that faith is possible, but who provides sufficient hints that those who are ready to see and able to hear can see and hear. It's a very biblical kind of theme that people can look at what's happening and not see it, but if you're ready and able, then you can see it.